Let's open in a word of prayer.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this time you've given us to just look to you, O Lord, look to your word. Look to what you have in store for us. Help us to sit here with attentive minds, open hearts, to learn from it and to use it in our day-to-day lives, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done, especially on that cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 You know, that was a fantastic meal. It's hard to follow after a meal like that. Right? Half asleep. Food coma starts kicking in. But I'll be short. I'll tell you how short I'm going to be. Somewhere in here is my notes. Have you ever walked into your house, put your hand on the doorknob, and the door just flung open? You walk inside, and you realize you've been robbed. All your valuables gone. TV, jewelry, stereo, your certificates, your photos, what have you? It's all gone. Has that ever happened to anyone? It has.
Yes.
Has it? What happened? What happened? Someone took it. What'd you do about it?
Call the cops.
Call the cops. Was it yours that they took? Was it something of yours they took?
Yes.
How did you feel about it?
Mad.
Mad.
They
took your money. They took your PlayStation, was it?
No.
You feel mad. What do? You call the cops because you want it back. It's rightfully yours. You want it back because it's yours. You bought it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's yours. And some guy stole it. Robbed you. It was yours, and it was taken away from you. You owned it, and it was stolen. And you tried to get it back. Right? Called the cops, you did whatever it took to get it back. In the same manner, we have been bought. We have been purchased by the most precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have been bought with a price. The ultimate price. With the death of our Savior. And thank God for His resurrection. But now imagine. Imagine God, our Father, the Creator of the universe, the Creator of the land and sea, the one who has provided for us, the one who has given us everything, from the air we breathe, to the roof over our head, the clothes on our body, everything, to give us all this. What about eternal life? He has given us all, only for us to be robbed of this world. To just deny our Father and focus on what the world has to offer. Imagine. Do you think God would be angry? Right? We can't live a life on our own. It's not our life to live. It's God's. We've been bought. We have an owner. You know, many people say, oh, it's my life, I can do whatever I want. Right? You probably hear that.
If I want to go left, I'll go left. If I want to go right, I'll go right. It's my life.
Wrong. We have been bought. We've been purchased. Somebody owns us. And
thank God it's our Heavenly Father, our dear Daddy, our Abba Father. We can just approach to Him face to face. Turn with me to Exodus. Exodus 33:11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Picture your best friend. Your bestest, estest friend. Right? You can share and talk to them about anything. Right? That's how we can communicate with our Father. We can speak to Him freely. The gap has been bridged because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Hallelujah. Our Father. That's the relationship we have with our Father. With that kind of bond, with that kind of closeness with our Father. Imagine how He would feel if we decided to do what the world wants to do. If we decide to hide from Him. If we decide to run from Him. Now the real question is, can we? Can we run from Him? Can we escape from God? Can we hide from Him, like you were saying earlier today? Can we? No. No matter where we go, what we do, we can't. Because ultimately, who's in control? Who's in control? Parents, but who's in control? God is in control. And thank God for that, right?
Amen.
I am so glad I'm not in control. But I'll tell you, there was a point in my life where I thought I was in control. Let's rewind.
I was in fourth grade.
Fourth grade. Anybody in fourth grade here? You're in fourth grade? Okay. No? When I was in fourth grade, we had to do book reports. I hated book reports. You gotta read, you gotta write, two things I don't like. So I would go to the library and pick the thinnest book, the thinnest, most skinniest book with the largest pictures and the least amount of words, and I would write a book report. Everybody has to pick a different book, but I would pick the same book and write the same report over and over and over again. It was a book called Airplanes. And from that point on, I had a passion for airplanes and flying. And from that point on, I said, I'm going to be a pilot. I want to fly. Didn't know what to do or how to do it or how to go there or do anything of the sort, but I just had a focus. So you fast forward several years, I'm in college, I'm a pilot, I'm learning. At the brink of graduation, I'm a year away from graduating, thousands of dollars invested, I am moments away from getting my commercial certificate. I'm literally at the very grasp of getting it and graduating and moving on with my career. Every year I do a medical. One fine year I go to the medical office in Stony Brook for my aviation medical exam, and they said, sorry, you failed. I think computers are in season. You might try to order computers. You should have seen. I couldn't even drive home. I was devastated. In tears, I pulled over, I think it was, pulled over the side of the road and just tears. I couldn't get a medical. I couldn't do what I love to do. I knew for a fact God gave me this passion to fly. I didn't know how God was going to use me. But now I couldn't do it. So I said, God, what do you have in store for me? You're in control. Here I thought I was in control. You know, typical type A, you know, control, I got this, I'm going to do it my way, when I want it, how I want it. Not going to work. So I realized, God, you're in control. Whatever you want, I will do. However which way you want me to pursue it, I will do it. I understand. I'm not in control. You are. Because you're the sovereign God who holds everything together. So I let it and I put it in His hands. Oh, what a trying time that was. It was about a period of 6 months. 6 months where I had to figure out, what does He have in store for me? 6 months where my at that time what I thought my world was upside down. Not knowing where I was going, what am I going to do for my future career, this, that. But what an amazing and faithful God we have. Because no matter what the situation, He always carries us through and He always delivers. Always delivers. So today we'd like to talk about a few topics. First, we're going to talk about the portrait of God. Then we'll talk about the promises of God, the providence of God, the provision of God, and the protection of God. Portrait of God. Thank God for His faithfulness. He is never changing, never wavering. He's always in control of every aspect of our life. And thank God for that. I'm glad I'm not in control because I've made some awful decisions. So at that point I realized, I gave it to God, I realized He's in control, I realized, you know, He's God. He's faithful. And guess what? He delivered. 6 months later, I was able to, through various regional offices and things like that, I got my medical and continued. I got this job where I'm working at right now. And up until getting this job, I never realized how God was going to use me as a pilot. And a Christian, how do you, what does that mean? How does that work? Then I realized I fly with different co-workers and I get to meet them and I get to share the gospel. And I'll probably see them once and never see them again, or I'll see them once and see them a year later. And what an opportunity. So God, in His masterful ways, He uses us. We just must be willing. So, we go to the amazing book of Jonah. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Jonah. Book of Jonah. Here we see a man, very familiar story, so we won't go through it, but a man who tried to run and hide. Can you hide from God?
No.
No. But here we see Jonah. He was given instruction. He was told what to do. He decided to disobey. Go the exact opposite direction. Try to go to the bottom of the boat. Try to hide from God. Is that possible? No. It's not. He realized who was in control though, right? He realized who was the master. And eventually, he complied. First Corinthians 10:13 reads, "No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear your temptation, your circumstance, whatever it's that you're going through, whatever hurdle or burden that's obstructing you, that's keeping you. He's given you the strength. He's given you the ability to overcome it. Whatever it is. We all go through various trials, but He's given us the strength. See, Jonah in the boat, what does he do? What does he eventually tell the shipmates? Because what are their responsibilities?
throw me out. But God always gives an escape. There's always an avenue for saving. And that's why we are saved. Let's turn now to 1 John 2:24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. See, the portrait of God is that He is so faithful, that He cares for us so much, He loves us so much, that He has promised us eternal life. Not only has He promised us, what is a promise, by the way? What is a promise? I can make a promise right now. I promise to give each and every one of you $1 million. Okay? See, there's a difference, right? There's a difference when I say a promise with no backing. Right? Sometimes people make promises with no weight to it, right? There's no substance to it. See, God, when He makes a promise, you can rest assured that He will answer. He will deliver that promise. I think somebody counted, they said there's over 30,000 promises in the Bible. 30,000 promises. It's there. All we have to do is claim it. It's for us. His children. We just need to claim it. And that's the guarantee we have. Because it's God's promises. It's not my promise. It's not some Joe Schmo promises. It's God's promise. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. In this passage, you will find His protection, His providence, His provision. Okay? So, as you hear, listen. There's protection, His providence, and His provision. As His divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness. Godliness, brotherly love, brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me read that last verse one more time. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, the Lord has a lot of things He likes to offer to us. Lot and lot of things. Nothing is lasting. It's all short-lived.
It's all emptiness. It's all vanity. But sometimes when we fall into that trap and we lose control, we think we're in control. Really, we're not. We get robbed. We lose sight of who's our owner, our real owner, who has bought us. We're children of God, but we just exit left stage, and we follow what the world has to offer. But our God, our Heavenly Father, is so loving that He comes after you. You know, like they said, they would call the cops. Our Father is so loving, He comes after you. He tries to, might go through some difficult times, but He'll try to insist. He'll try to show you the way, the correct way. Even if you decide to go the opposite direction like Jonah, He'll pull you to the right direction. He'll get you where you need to be. And thank God for that. So sometimes we get caught up in what the world offers. Don't let it rob. Don't let the world rob you of just a circumstance, especially your very souls. Because we've been bought with a price. And that's a very precious price. Just like you would feel mad if somebody stole your possessions. Imagine how much more our Heavenly Father would be upset if Satan got hold of us. So whatever it is that we go through, whatever the hurdle or trial we face, don't try to answer that hurdle or trial with what the world has to offer, with what kind of answer the world has. But the promises that God has for us are absolutely awesome. They're promises that have backing. They're promises that will be delivered. Throughout Scripture, we see that. And that is all because of the love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, He died on the cross. Why? Why? Can anyone say why?
To save us.
To save us. Save us from what?
From our sins.
Sins. Where would sin lead us?
Yeah.
That's right. That's absolutely right. You see, under the law, under sin, law, there's death. But by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there's life. In Exodus 32, when you know the story of the golden calf, Moses comes down. Somewhere in here, in 32, I'll just read you the verse, 28. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. 3,000 men died that day under the law. But let's look at something so awesome. Let's go to Acts 2:41. Under the law, 3,000 men died. Because the law, it's death. But look at Acts 2:41. Then those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. You see the parable? When we follow our own way, whatever it is, in this case, they made a golden calf. They think they knew what they were doing. They thought they were in control. They couldn't care less of what happened before. Under the law, there's death because of sin. But because of the grace of Christ, there's life. So once again, I challenge everyone. We have an owner that has bought us. Our Heavenly Father has purchased us. How? How did He purchase us? By sending His Son to die on the cross for us. Right? He's bought us with the ultimate price. Since we have been bought, don't let what the world has to offer, don't get distracted and deceived. Let's pray. Our most Heavenly Father, we just take this time to thank You for all these life lessons, O Lord. Oh, how often we get distracted, deceived. We just look around and we can't find quick solutions. We look at our burdens, our trials, our tribulations, whatever it is that we're going through, whatever hurdles we have to overcome. We look at it and we try to find quick fixes. We try to figure out a way to solve it by ourselves, thinking we're in control. We forget that You are the sovereign God. You are God Almighty. We forget Your blessings, Your promises, Your protection. We look to You for everything, Lord. So forgive us. Help us to be more focused on You. And once again, O Lord, we thank You, O Lord, for that ultimate price, for dying on the cross, rising again that third day, conquering sin and death, so we may have eternal life. So we can spend eternity with You, our Creator. Help us not to be involved in this world. Help us to always abide in Your arms. Just like the baby holding an infant baby holding a finger of a parent. That's us grasping at You, O Lord. But we know for a fact, just like a parent holding an infant baby in their arms, cradling in their arms, how secure, how much more secure it is that our Father holding us than we holding our Father. So Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness, for holding us so tightly and securely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.